Welcome to Marriage in the Making, a podcast to strengthen and encourage marriages.
This is Corey.
And Kimberly Gardner. We'll share our story, the good, the bad, the funny, and the sad, with some biblical wisdom as we help you navigate the challenges of marriage.
Welcome back, fam. Thanks for joining us. We hope you had a great week and had a chance to listen to the last episode. Last episode, we spoke about the four pillars of foundation. And we just want to remind you, those are unity, integrity, humility, and communication. Today, we're going to be focusing on communication. It does not matter how great of a match you and your spouse are if you don't have good communication. Recently, I read an article that was talking about irritability, and it basically said irritability usually means that you need to speak your mind and communicate better and be more assertive with your communication. Meaning when things are a problem or when your partner comes to you and says, "Hey, what's wrong?" You have to learn how to speak up and say, "I'm not ready to talk right now. I'm not ready to speak to you right now." Or, "This is what's bothering me right now."
Yeah, you can't just say nothing or I'm good or nothing and then be irritated or show that you're irritated and think that everything's just going to be fixed. So it's just...
Which I'm guilty of. I'll be the first one to admit.
Hashtag Corey.
Yeah, man.
Hashtag Corey.
100%.
I have to ask him over and over sometimes. But I've expressed to him, and he's so much better at this because I've expressed to him, "I just need you to let me know if you're not ready to talk right now. But if you don't tell me something's wrong, I'm just going to keep bothering you because I can see something's wrong. And then I'm just going to be annoying."
Yeah, she does get annoying.
So we should start off talking about some different tips to help you communicate better with your spouse.
Okay, guys, it's Bible time. Crack open your Bibles and please turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. This is out of the ESV. "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Babe, what's that mean to you?
Well, I mean, first of all, let every person be quick to hear. That means close your mouth and listen.
God gave us 2 ears for a reason and right. One mouth for a reason, right?
I heard you saying that to Lillian the other day. It's so funny, isn't it? And it cracked me up.
I mean, but it's true.
It is like, true.
You used to hear adults telling you that, like your teachers telling you that, you know, and yeah, when you're popping off in class and everything, they're like, "We have 2 ears for a reason and 1 mouth, you know?
Yeah.
We're supposed to listen double."
Listen. And instead of listening to talk, you know, you meet those people that are listening to you, but just because they're waiting for their chance to start talking, slow to speak.
Oh, it's like that peanut. It's like peanuts. Like, you know, like Charlie Brown.
What?
You never seen that?
No.
You know, when Charlie Brown's in the school and like the teacher's talking and it's just like, wah, wah, wah,
oh,
wah,
yeah.
Wah, wah.
Okay, that's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah.
So it's
wah,
like
wah,
the person's
wah.
Not really listening.
Right. Well, they were listening, but not really. I get what you're saying.
They're catching bits and pieces.
Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Selective hearing.
Real talk.
Our family suffers with that. And then the last part.
Slow to anger. So, I mean, not flying off the handle immediately when something happens. And not allowing that to be how you talk to your spouse either.
Sure. I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory stuff here.
Yeah, it really is.
So, one thing, I came across this really, really awesome article in Fatherly. This is a great website for you gentlemen, for my brothers out there. It's a really cool website that has a ton of articles helping men grow in fatherhood and being a parent. And one of the things that I read was it was about communication between, you know, spouse. And one of the questions that they had that really stood out to me was, are you venting or do you want advice? And I was like, man, like that is some really, that's really good. You know,
it's been helpful for us.
Yeah. And I remember coming home to you and telling you, I'm like, I really think this would help. What do you think? And you were like,
sure, let's try.
Yeah. Let's,
why not?
Let's do it.
And it's great because there are times when I come to Corey and I literally say, I just want to vent right now. And what that means to us, or what that means to Corey when I say that to him, is I'm just listening. I'm not even getting ready to speak anything. I'm just going to listen to what my wife has to say, and she can walk away. So I can basically I want to him, and he listens, and I get a head nod, and maybe his eyes glaze over. I don't know. But he listens to what I want to vent about. And it could be anything. It could be a situation where someone cut me off on the road, or it could be me venting about, I don't know, that I couldn't get what I wanted at the grocery store, whatever it is that I'm venting about.
Should have had those limited edition Lucky Charms.
What would be in a limited edition?
All Lucky pots of gold.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Or maybe for St. Patty's Day.
I can't.
No?
You can do that because you have an Irish background.
Like all clovers. And,
I can't with you. You know? No. So anyway, yeah, okay. So when I tell him I'm venting, that means he's not going to say anything back. But if I tell him, hey, I have something I want to bounce off you. I need advice. Then he knows that I'm expecting him to give me advice in return. And vice versa. If he tells me I'm just venting, then I just listen to him. And if he tells me he needs advice, then I give it to him. Because here's the thing. We don't always want advice. Sometimes we legit just want to get everything off of our chest to our partners, to our spouses, let it be done. And we don't want them to necessarily try to like give us advice or try to help us fix the problem. We're just trying to tell you about it.
I think that's what we're here for. If we're going to be sort of one,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we'll be speaking on soon, you know, unity. But yeah, I mean, I think at times you just want the other person to listen and not really say anything back. Because if they say something back, it could throw you off, right? You could lose your train of thought, and that's really frustrating at times. Maybe you don't get it out like you intended, and then there's other things. So at times it can be very, I wouldn't even say at times, I would just say it's beneficial just to get things off of your chest.
It is.
Which is obviously, you know, a way for you to communicate better. You know, when you're asking the question, are you venting or do you want advice? It's a way for you to say, yes, I would like advice. And a lot of times, I knew you just mentioned it, but a lot of times these vent sessions become, you know, they turn into, okay, what should I do?
So, yeah, what happens is I vent. And he's sitting and he's looking and he's giving me attention. And then I go, okay, so what would you do? Mm. It ends up being, all right, now I really need to know what's going through your brain right now, because the face you're giving me is like, maybe this. Or it's just letting me know that something's happening and now I'm dying to hear what your advice is.
Yeah, which we speak a lot through our face. In our family, you can tell exactly what's going on with our face. Which
from our parents to our kids.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing, and I don't know if it's just us, love. I think it's just the fact that it's like most communication is done through body language. I think it's like 80 or 90% is done through physical body language. You can usually tell if a person's receiving you well just based off of their body language or their facial expressions or just how they respond to you.
That's the case. It's like 98% in our family.
It's an eyebrow raise. It's right. A smirk. It's a...
It's everything.
Yeah, man. One way that we noticed is a great way to build off of these sessions of venting is, do you need to be a verbal soundboard? we usually repeat back what was said. And not only does this let the person know that you're listening, but it also gives you a little bit of time to think of how to respond. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's kind of like I roll up to, you know, your favorite fast food restaurant, right? And you order, I don't know, a double cheeseburger with bacon and mustard or whatever. And then the person, if they're listening, a good way to know if they're listening is not only do you see it on the screen.
Right.
But back in the old days, right, when they didn't have screens, they would repeat your order back to you.
I feel like they still do that.
Even when you go to a restaurant. I mean, mm-hmm. granted, it's been a long time since we've been in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait for the day where we can actually, you know, actually not have to worry about that. But anyway.
For anybody that's listening, not in the year 2021.
Oh, yeah.
This is, we're coming towards, actually, we've just ended a year of being in a
pandemic.
Worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and it's not 2021, check your history books.
Yeah. Man. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy times. So. But anyway, you know, they usually read back, okay, so you want, you know, double cheeseburger, bacon, mustard. And, you know, it's a good way to, okay, yeah, they're listening. They got my order right.
Right.
Same with this whole communication thing.
Yeah, in your marriage.
Yeah.
Right, because just because I say something doesn't mean you heard it the way I meant it.
Right.
Or that it came off right. There are different times when I say something to you and you're looking at me, head's all cocked, and I'm like, man, that did not come out right.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't use the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just didn't make sense. Sometimes my thoughts and what I'm thinking comes out of my mouth differently.
Like verbal diarrhea?
Yes, but no.
Okay.
Like, I just didn't know how to put the words together in just the right way to explain how I'm thinking. This happens a lot when we're talking about spiritual things, though. When we're talking about the Bible and I'm trying to explain something, I don't always have the right words. So then he repeats it back to me. Like, so what you're saying is this? Or, you know, vice versa. If he says something to me, I look at him, this is what I'm hearing. Is this what, are we on the same page? Mm. Because problems start when you guys aren't even on the right page. When you guys are talking about something that's not even in the same ballpark as far as what the topic is, and then you're arguing about something, it turns into an argument or it turns into a miscommunication because you weren't even in the right place to start with. So repeating back to each other just makes it that much easier to make sure that you're in the right place and that you are effectively communicating what you want to your spouse.
Mm. Enough said. Mic drop.
Boom.
I liked it.
All right.
It was good.
There you go.
Last one is huge for me. Does he or she need time and or space before you can talk? Because I am angry with a capital A. Right? I just need time to, you know, be by myself. Walk away from this conversation, because if you say more, it's just going to turn into World War III, you know, and I will come back to you when I'm ready.
And that's something we had to learn. I didn't know that, because I'm like, we're going to finish this right now. Like, we need to know right now what the deal is, but that makes it hard to do if you're the person that needs the space.
Yeah, I was the one that needed space.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't the one that needed space.
Nope. I'm like, let's get it done.
Yeah.
Talk this out with me right now. And that's not helpful if that's just pushing you over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And we're different people. We have to understand that each of us has a different way of communicating things.
It took me some time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the point where I was like, you know, you'd ask me, why are you so angry? And I would just shut down. Like, I wouldn't even talk. I'd just be like, I don't want to talk to you about it, you know?
And it would be something, it wouldn't even be anything super huge, mm-hmm. but he just wouldn't be ready to talk at that time.
And so I remember, that was a game changer. I remember telling you, I'm just not ready to talk about this right now. And you were like, that's cool. That's fine. And in my head, I was like, what just happened?
Is it really
did that,
okay?
Did that really, did that work? And it did. Like, but that's effective communication. Learning to communicate what you need at that point in time. Do I need space? Do I need a vent? I'm angry. This is why. You know, it makes me angry when you do this. You know, or I feel this way when you do this, or I don't feel valued when you do this. These are all important things to get out there. And these are just some examples as far as like, you know, I feel this way when you do this or whatnot. But I think it's a good start to getting the conversation rolling, to getting the conversation started, and figuring out how each one of you communicates to each other and how to approach one another and have respect for that. Yeah?
I agree. And that kind of leads us into the next scripture, which is Ephesians 4:26. And it says, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So we just told you, if someone needs space, give them space. But at the end of the day, in our house, we don't go to bed angry. That is a rule we made somewhere in the first year of our marriage. I told you guys, remember, we told you the first year was rough. We learned a lot. And somewhere in that first year, we decided we are not going to bed angry with each other. Mm-hmm. Which isn't always easy. That means it might be 1 o'clock in the morning before we're going to bed. Mm-hmm. Because if someone still needs space or someone still needs time, then they still need that regardless. And there'll be times we'd be laying in the bed and it's still like, well, this is how I feel. Mm. And the going back and forth until it finally gets resolved. But you don't want to go to bed mad at your spouse because tomorrow's not always promised. You don't know what is there for you on the other side of the night. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're waking up to. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go to sleep not knowing what the last words you said to your spouse were, if they were angry and how they affected them. And if those were going to be the very last words you say to them, you want them to be something in love. And so for us, that's a really big thing that we have implemented in our household. I mean, it's straight out of scripture that you shouldn't do it, but it's something that we really take to heart, which helps me out because I'm like, yes, it's going to get solved. Mm. Whereas I know with Corey, because he likes to have a little bit more space sometimes, he could probably take things longer than a day if he wanted to. Like if something happens in the morning, I'm like, well, at least by the end of the day, it's going to be resolved. So, mm-hmm. Or at least it's going to be talked about. So it, you know, it helps me on that side of things too. Cause then I know it's not going to be a week before we talk about this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this whole, like, you know, don't go to bed angry. It's kind of an old school sort of mentality. Cause I've heard other people say like, oh yeah, you know, you're not supposed to go to bed angry and you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. It's like, yeah, a lot of these old school people grew up reading the Bible, man. And it's straight out of scripture. It's, you know, the stuff that was taught back then, even though it was, you know, seemed old and archaic at times, is like, nah, man, it's still relevant today. And the scripture is just as relevant today as it was yesterday.
So we're going to continue in Ephesians 4 and go to verse 29, 31 and 32. And 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And so we're talking about what happens when people get upset. I mean, first of all, don't instigate an argument. It says it right there. Don't let corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Build up as it fits the occasion and give grace. So if something happens that I'm not necessarily happy about, I'm not just going to pick and poke the bear. Have a conversation. Don't instigate an argument just to instigate an argument. And if I'm supposed to be building up, that means I'm building up my spouse when I speak to him. I'm building up my spouse when I speak to other people about him. Like, be constructive. Don't be condemning.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want someone to have a preconceived notion, which is getting down into verse 31. You know, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Or you don't want someone to already have a sort of preconceived notion of who that person is, because it can destroy their outlook on that person before they even meet them, right? And this is not just in a marriage setting, right? This would be for, you know, everyday life.
Life, right? This is life skills, y'all.
Mm-hmm. It's keeping that sort of anger, you know, bitterness, and slander out of your mouth and staying positive about the reputation that you're building. Because look here. If you guys are one and you go and you talk about your spouse to someone else, aren't you like talking about your marriage too?
Right. You are talking about yourself.
Yeah.
You are talking about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's so instead of you going to that person and saying, you know, he did this, but this is how we solved it, or she did this, but this is how we solved it, or whatnot. You're just digging a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to dig yourself out of that. And it's just, negativity's only going to not only, you know, bring you down, but then bring the people that you're doing it to down with you.
So then along with that, we don't want name calling or button pushing.
We've never resulted to name calling.
Look, I say that because I've heard people talk about name calling.
You never said anything behind my back, though? Like, oh, man, he's being such a jerk.
No, I say that to your face, whatever. If I think you're a jerk,
that's true.
I tell you to your face. So yeah.
No.
We don't really do the name calling, but I've heard people.
You push my buttons, though.
I have. I'm not going to lie. I feel like you have, too.
Yeah.
It happens. And so, but that's why we're saying, like, you know your spouse's buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they are. Just, they're off limits. Mm. Don't call them names, especially ones that you know are triggering. Like.
I feel like that's, like, resulting back to, like, your elementary school days, too.
And you know what? When you are so angry, it happens.
Yeah. It's like you're not fighting fair at that point. Like you're knowing what their triggers are.
Right. So that's why I say it's off limits.
I know your weak points.
It's like a pressure point.
Going for the throat.
The jugular.
The eye gouge.
Just don't even go there, because it gets to that point. Then you just start pushing it further, and then people start saying things they regret,
mm-hmm.
and you can't take it back. Mm-hmm. The power of life and death are on your tongue.
Mm.
Right there. So you wanna help your marriage live, or you wanna kill your marriage?
Man, like, I totally wish I had like a button.
Beow, 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 beow.
Yeah, man, she just dropped scripture on you guys. I don't know if you guys know that,
but it's just real talk. Those are the things to me. I'm like, they're totally off limits. If you truly want to make sure communication is effective with you and your spouse, just don't even go there. So that's boom. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No name calling, no button pushing. You know what they are. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. So grace was mentioned in the scripture. And the definition of grace is unmerited favor, undeserved kindness, and unconditional love. I really think the only way that you're ever going to be able to even scratch the surface of what grace means is to know the love that Christ has for you, and to know the grace that has been given to you freely.
Right.
By the fact that he sent his only son to come, you know, and die for your sins so that you can live eternally in his presence, in his holiness. And so if we are the image of God, correct?
Correct.
We are his image bearers, which I think the Hebrew word actually means like statue, right? Like, poof, like we are his like representation. Like this is God, right? When he looks at us, that's, he sees Jesus. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, obviously he sees Jesus for Christians because we've been washed in the blood, right?
Right.
Which is a totally different subject and probably a whole nother episode. But knowing that and trying to scratch the surface and grasp a hold of that, I think if that's what we are supposed to do and supposed to be his image and bear that image, then how much more are we supposed to like give that to our spouse and give that to each other? So grace. Being tender-hearted, which is kind and gentle. Oh, man, I struggle with that one sometimes.
I'm so sensitive, y'all. And people that know me are probably like, yeah, right. But I am super. And my dad used to tell me when I was a kid, he's like, you need to stop being so sensitive. And I'd be like, I can't help it. And even to this day, Corey's like, well, you're being so sensitive. And anytime I think of like tender-hearted, I feel like that's me. But I feel like then that's how he has to be towards me.
I have to be careful with that saying, though, because that can be like, it can be like gaslighting in a way. Like, I could be telling you, like, oh, man, you're being so sensitive. And it's a way for me to go, maybe if I just say it this way, she'll believe that it's not her. Or it's not me, but it's really her.
I really am sensitive, though.
But I'm glad you admit that.
No,
right?
I know.
And that's not me gaslighting her. Please, no, please don't think that, fam.
I know that I am super sensitive, y'all. And some people don't know that. Mm-hmm. Now you know, but...
Yeah, so I have to be, you know, super gentle in my approach. I don't know if there's many people that know this about me besides my wife. Some people do. I don't have a lot of tact.
None. Tactless. Tactless.
I am...
Corey's picture in the dictionary. Tactless.
Right. I am fairly cutthroat when it comes to like honesty and being like, nope, black and white, this is the way it is. And that's a fault. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Because some people are like, man, I love how honest you are, right? And then other people are like, man, did you really have to like rub dirt in the wound and then pour salt on it? And then, you know, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there are times when I come to Kimberly and I'm just like, here it is. And then I can like obviously tell, oh man, I messed up, like right in the middle of me saying the sentence or me saying something. And so that's a tough one, being tenderhearted. The last point that I wanted to make before we sort of move on to the final part of the episode is we have to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We recently heard a pastor ask the question, and I know this isn't verbatim. Is Christ's blood enough to render forgiveness for what this person did? And it was along those lines. It's not verbatim.
No, it's paraphrased.
Right. This is from Darius Daniels. To understand how to forgive someone, I think you have to, once again, learn how to scratch the surface of forgiveness and dig deep into yourself and go, okay, if Christ can do it and we are his image bearers, once again, wouldn't it be just as important for us to forgive our spouse if they've wronged us in some way?
Mm-hmm. Like if they've said something to offend you. Christ's blood is enough to forgive of anything. So if you're so offended that you can't forgive your spouse, then there's something you probably need to work on within yourself. Because at the end of the day, this is the person you chose to do life with.
Mm.
And you need to communicate. You need to talk with them about those things that are bothering you so that you can forgive them, not only for them, but for yourself.
And I think this is a really good time to go ahead and say it. Like, this is important for you to probably establish before you guys even get hitched. You know, before you...
I mean, a lot of the foundation should be established. Otherwise, you have that, you know, that year.
Right. And you're doing it like we did it, which we wouldn't recommend, but we wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Right? It's definitely been something that I feel like has strengthened us. Yeah, man.
Ooh, you owe me a Coke.
Dang it.
So each week, Corey and I do what's called a marriage check-in. And it's a weekly meeting as a couple. We don't do it with the girls. We put them to bed. They have baths and dinner, and we make sure they're asleep. And then we come downstairs. Sometimes we have dessert or something. Like, I'm thinking of brownie a la mode. Right now is one of the things that's like a go-to, or like some ice cream. Mm. And we sit and we have a check-in. And it's an actual checklist that we go through of things and topics that we discuss. And we wanted to kind of present and share this to you because it's kind of been something that's enhanced our marriage, I would say, because it's made us talk more about things that sometimes go by the wayside because we're busy or we forget about it or we don't think it's important, but then we realize later it was. So a couple of the things that we have on our marriage check-in. First, we have a honey-do list because one of the wonderful things about my husband being a barber is that he doesn't work on Mondays, which means the things that I can't...
It's supposed to be my day off.
The things that I can't necessarily do because I'm working during the week, but maybe he can do because those businesses are open.
I never get a day off.
He can do those things. So we go through a honey-do list. Because he loves me. Then we go through our schedule for the week. This is something that used to cause arguments for us because I would set things up. I'm the scheduler in our household. I'm super about trying to be organized when it comes to those things. So I schedule things. And I just would forget to be like, oh, yeah, this is on the schedule. Or I try to keep things up to date on the calendar in the house and realize I forgot something. And then it would turn into in this argument because it's like, well, you weren't home in time for this and blah, blah, and unnecessary. So I'm going to tell you right now, get yourselves together. Get a Google Calendar that you share. Put both of you on it. And then each week, go through and talk about it in your marriage check-in. And then it's never going to be an issue. We have this, this, and this happening. And we don't just do it for the week. Like, we say, okay, is there anything happening in the month? What about this season? You know, we haven't missed, since we've started doing this, we haven't missed any holidays or birthdays. People have gotten their gifts on time. Guys, that's stressful. That bothers me when a day or two after people's birthday, they're like, oh, you remembered my birthday now. And it's like, oh, yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
It bothers me.
And yeah, I know.
And so those kinds of things stress me out. So when we can talk about that stuff at our check-in, then we're good to go. Mm-hmm. Another big thing, though, that we have is issues to address.
Mm.
And so there will be times where something... bah, bah, bah. There will be times when something happens, maybe on Wednesday. We have our check-ins on Sunday night. Something happens on Wednesday, and maybe we resolved it in that moment, but then as time goes on, one of us is thinking, well, this really, you know what, this really bothered me more than I let on. And this gives us a chance to talk through it without anger and, you know, in a way that we can use some of those marriage or some of those communication tips that we talked about earlier where we are venting and able to ask for advice or being that person that is a sounding board. We can do all of those things during the marriage check-in. And Corey and I were talking about how eventually we'd like to make it a goal where we communicate well enough that issues to address isn't on our mayor's check-in, where we talk about those things when they come up and we go through and we have been able to deal with whatever that is in such a way that when marriage check-in does come around at the end of the week, it's not something that we do have to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. We're not there yet.
No.
We're still learning.
Yeah. I think it'll be some time before we get there. It's easy to sweep things under. It's easy to sort of, in the heat of the moment, too, because we have so much going on with the girls and with our careers and whatnot. It's easy for us to sort of, unfortunately, put one on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And usually because we're tending to a 4-year-old and an almost 1-year-old, you know, we tend to push each other to the back burner, which is not okay, because essentially, you know, you were the first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to realize too.
It is. We also ask each other if we're receiving enough, if we are receiving enough affection from the other.
Mm.
So I will turn and I'll ask Corey, are you receiving enough affection from me? And this is all the way from, did you hold my hand, to were we able to be intimate? Did we have sex? Did we go through any of these different types of affection? And enough affection is just what it is for that person.
Mm.
So,
yeah, my definition of affection is totally different than your definition of affection.
Yeah, we had a conversation.
That was a funny conversation.
A few weeks ago about affection, because we were at our marriage check-in and we were talking about receiving enough affection. And it was something to learn what Corey's view of affection was outside of being intimate in the bedroom versus my view of affection. And we really had to discuss that. And it was funny, but it was also really eye-opening for both of us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And there are many more, not many more, but there are quite a few more on our own marriage check-in. But you can develop your own. So one of the ways that you can do this is sit down with your spouse and just create a list of things that you value and topics that you tend to argue about or that tend to come up often in your household, and create some questions or some different actions around those. So it can be just as simple as, for us, I just have a Google Keep document, which I highly suggest if you are making your own, because you can check and uncheck the boxes in that, and it is reusable. So Corey uses it. He'll check off the boxes as we talk through our marriage check-in, and then he'll uncheck them all at the end, and same with me. And we take turns asking and leading the marriage check-in. But it makes your life so much, it makes things so much easier when it comes to communication, because you know that you know that you know that once a week, regardless, we're going to address these things and we're going to work on ourselves in that way. And it's just, it has opened the doors and opened the lines of communication for us that we wanted to share that with you.
Mm.
How do you feel about the marriage check-in?
I dig it. Because of these questions, it's opened up a lot of things and it's helped me to communicate better, because I feel like I'm able to be, I'm gonna quote Michael Todd right now, and we have a hot relationship, right? And it's what is it called? An acronym?
It's an acronym.
And it's HOT, right? H is for honest, right? O is for open, and then T is for transparent. And so, it allows us to be honest, open, and transparent with each other, and ask some of those difficult questions that we might not have asked either, you know, in a different setting. But because we're taking it, you know, an hour, or sometimes even less, sometimes we get through this list in 20 minutes. But then
sometimes we had such a great week.
Mm-hmm. But then sometimes, even if we did have a good week, sometimes we're like, we have the conversation about intimacy, right? And it's one of those things that helped me be more intentional with my communication. So long story short, I dig it.
And here is the great thing for you guys. I have created a PDF of our marriage check-in with some additional lines for you to add your own. You
guys get it easy.
So that you don't have to start from scratch. So you don't have to wonder how does this work? What do I do? So all you have to do is head over to our webpage. The link will be in the show notes. And give us your email address and we will email you your very own copy of our marriage check-in. Exactly as we have it in our Google Keep, but in a PDF format, with a little bit of explanation by each, just so that you know what they are. But hopefully that helps you in just getting conversations started within your marriage with your spouse so that you guys can, you know, walk from the same place. You can be on the same page. You can have the same vision, the same goals, and you guys can share in your marriage together.
So that's going to do it for this episode. We really hope that you enjoyed it. We want to let you guys know that you're not alone in any type of struggles that you guys are going through. And so that's why we are doing this. But we want to make sure that you stop back in next week. So you don't miss out on the second pillar that we're going to be talking about. And that is unity. See you, fam. Thank you for listening. Make sure to hit subscribe to get notifications when a new episode drops. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review so others can find us and come along for the ride. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @Marriage in the Making for some additional encouragement.